Turn with me, please, to 1 Samuel chapter 3. I'm excited to give this message today. It's something that has been on my heart for a little while. And even as I was preparing the message, the Lord kept impressing on me this topic through different conversations with people and different scriptures that he was bringing about. And I knew kind of some of the things that he was showing me and what would be spoken about, and throughout the week I just couldn't pick a scripture. And as I was praying with the Lord, I just kept saying, Lord, show me where you want me to go. And then over the last few days, it almost seems like I have so many scriptures that I don't even know what we'll get to today. So we're going to be in 1 Samuel chapter 3. This message is kind of cool for me. I was reflecting on this week, and it's already been 3 years since I first had spoken from the podium, so this is going on year four for me. And thinking about that, kind of reflecting on some of the messages, some of the times up here, something that kept getting my attention was, it's almost like the message never changes. It's just, obviously, the scriptures are a little different each time. We have different speakers come up, they're different styles, whatever. But the foundation is we always speak Christ. And as just kind of going back through some of the previous times, just thinking about how the Lord continues to grow us and almost redefine what our relationship is in Christ, what our walk is with him. We just sang that song, he walks with me, he talks with me. Does he really? Do you really believe that? As you're singing those words, are they just words? Can you claim that and say, you know what, he has been speaking to me lately? And that's really what we're going to talk about today, is when God calls or when God speaks. Been having a lot of conversations with people, whether it be teenagers, whether it be middle-aged, whether it be older, whether it be new Christians, whether it be Christians for a long time. And the topic seems to keep coming up of, how do you know if the Lord really speaks to you? Or, you know what, I just haven't heard from the Lord in a while. And that's something that kind of grabbed me, kind of pricked my heart a little bit, because I think that's something that kind of separates us from anything else, from any other religion, from any other standard or self-help or whatever. Is you could have all these ideas and concepts and you're trying to better yourself, but the fact that we could go and talk to the Lord and he can speak back to us, I think of it almost as like a cheat code, that like something pops up in our life and we can instantly go, Lord, what do you want me to do in this? A lot of people don't have that. That's something that's very special. So just keeping that in mind, just the idea of the Lord speaking to you, and how is it that you're walking with the Lord? Are you speaking with the Lord? When's the last time you heard from him? And kind of what does that mean for you as you go forward in this life, as growing closer to the Lord? Can you lay claim to those promises? So let's start in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1. It says, and the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came pass at that time, when Eli was laid down in his place and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, here am I. And he ran to Eli and said, here am I, for thou called me. And he said, I called not. Lie down again. And he went and laid down. And the Lord called yet again Samuel. And Samuel rose and went to Eli and said, here am I, for thou did call me. And he answered, I called not. My son, lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, here am I, for thou did call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, go lie down. And it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant hears. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called, as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, Speak, for thy servant hears. Speak, for thy servant hears. Heavenly Father, we just want to commit this time to you. We want to acknowledge your presence. We want to acknowledge the fact that we get to open your true word together. So Lord, let us magnify your name together. Let us give you glory. Let us give you praise. We want to invite you into this time, Lord. Invite you into each of our situations, knowing that you could divide up these words any way that you choose, and that you could speak to the hearts in their own individual ways, whatever situation they may be going through. So Lord, we want to be present. We want to put the attention on you. So Lord, speak, for your servant hears. In the name of Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Something that I think is very important when understanding how to speak to the Lord, how to hear from the Lord, is first acknowledging the fact that he delights to speak to you, that he wants to talk to you, that he has loved you from the foundation of the world and wants to give you good things. You don't need a turn, but I'm just going to flip over a couple verses. First one is in Psalms. We'll go Psalm 18, verse 19. It says, He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighteth in me. He delights in you. And then one more. This one's all the way in Zephaniah chapter 3. I had to fold my page to make sure I could find it. Zephaniah 3:17 says, The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. And just think about that for a moment, that the Almighty God is singing with joy over you. And I think that's where we need to start, is do you really believe that the God of all creation, the God who made everyone and all these fantastic things, delights in you, you personally? He rejoices over you. Not based on anything we have done. He keeps his promises regardless if we want to follow or not. He is delighting in us. He wants to speak to you. So you're saying, you know what, I haven't heard from the Lord in a while. Understand, it's not too late. He wants to talk to you. Let today be the day that he starts speaking. In this passage here in 1 Samuel, you see it starts with, And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord. This is the third time it is mentioned that Samuel is ministering to the Lord, which is kind of odd if you think about it, going down to what we read in verse 7, where it says he did not yet know the Lord. The Lord had not yet revealed his word to him. But you already see Samuel as a child starting to seek after the Lord, seek after the things which are good, seeking after the Lord without even knowing what may come, if the Lord will ever speak, if the Lord will ever have anything special, if the Lord will ever call. The child Samuel is ministering before the Lord, and he's also ministering before his father Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. This means that the word of the Lord was, it was unusual for a public vision, or it was, the Lord just didn't speak as audibly or as frequent as in the past. And I think this is something that we shouldn't just brush over. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. You even think of our time today, where it seems like people have less and less understanding of the scriptures. I've had conversations with people who have claimed to be Christian, claimed this is what they believe in, and then find out that they never had an understanding of how to even read the Bible. The word of the Lord was precious in those days. And again, thinking about how we're hearing from the Lord, something so simple, and I'm sure you've heard it a bunch, is just read the scriptures. The Lord has given us his word so that we could hear from him through his scriptures. Sometimes we think we need this big, drastic revelation in our lives that Lord, just show me a sign. And we want to see like these great things just to know it's from the Lord. But in those times where we're waiting for him to act personally in our lives, we have the way he acts personally in the lives of those throughout the scriptures. So it came to pass that Eli was laid down and Samuel was going down to sleep as well. And you start to see that the Lord calls Samuel. And three times the Lord calls Samuel, and three times Samuel says, "Here am I," to his father. And I think that's so important to pick up on, the fact that when the Lord called, Samuel goes to his father. Why? Because when the Lord speaks in your life, it's going to sound familiar. Again, the Lord calls, Samuel thinks it's his dad. Why? Because it's not big, revealing revelations. The Lord is going to meet you where you are and speak into you the things that you know. I think it's fascinating how the Lord called fishermen. He called Peter and then says, "I'm going to make you a fisher of men." And then you even see how in the Old Testament, that the Lord uses a lot of shepherds. And then you see David say, "The Lord is my shepherd." So you see the shepherd of David saying, "The Lord is my shepherd." You see the Lord speaking to Peter saying, "I want to make you fishers of men." Why? Because those are things that they did. Those are things that were familiar to them. So you might be thinking, "Oh, I want the Lord to speak to me. This person seems to talk a lot to the Lord. I'm going to go do what they do." The Lord is going to meet you where you are, in the place you are, in the talents that you have, in the gifts that you have. He will choose to speak to you in those things, not how he's speaking to somebody else. He's going to speak to you in what's familiar. Let's turn over briefly to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. As you're thinking about the Lord calling, you may think, you know, I'm just a nobody. Why would the Lord speak to me? Or I gotta do X, Y, and Z in order to have access to the King of Kings. But you see here in 1 Samuel, Samuel is just a child. And the Lord had already prepared a way, had already had him on his heart and mind before even speaking a word to Samuel. And here in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, let's pick it up in verse 26. It says, For you see your calling, brothers, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, are called. But God has chosen the foolish things that are of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised had God chosen. Yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. See that first verse in 26 where it says, not many wise, after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Granted, it doesn't say not any wise. It doesn't say not any mighty. It doesn't say not any noble. So there are those who have wealth in this world who are seeking the Lord and are doing it the right way. However, putting your attention, your focus, trying to better yourselves in things of the flesh, the Lord is saying that you're not going to be called to spiritual things if you're trusting solely on you. So it doesn't take someone who is high and mighty by the world standards for the Lord to speak to them. He could speak to a child. He could speak to someone who may be illiterate. He could speak to anyone with any situation, anything we may deem as a disability. The Lord says, I want to use you. I want to speak to you. I want to call you. We all have a calling on our lives. Whether it's a calling to, first and foremost, accept the fact that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. If you have not accepted and received that and truly believe that in your heart, that's your first calling. Okay, if you have received that and now you truly believe that, now you have a calling to grow in the Lord, to search through the scriptures, to try to just see what the Lord would have for you. If you have been at that for a little while, now it's time to, okay, the Lord has called you to serve him. You have taken the lessons, you have accepted, you have believed, you have grown. Now it's your job to serve the Lord and for him to open doors in your life. And then even more so, you could take it a step further and say, okay, I believe I have grown in the Lord. Time has passed. I've gone through life a little bit. I've had some experiences. Now the Lord is calling me to teach it to those who are waiting to hear the word of the Lord. Everybody has a calling. There's stages to development, and the Lord could speak to any situation and something that may say, oh, this is going to take 3 years. God could get on the scene and say, no, I want it to take 3 days. Okay, God's timing is not our timing. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. We all have a calling on our lives. Just a secondary compliment verse to those in 1 Corinthians is that in Jeremiah chapter 9, I'll let you turn there. But Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23 and 24 says, thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might, let not the rich man glory in his riches, let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and in righteousness in the earth, for in these things I delight, says the Lord. Remember, the Lord delights in you. He delights in these things. When the Lord is speaking to you, when the Lord is calling you, you have to first understand that it is nothing. One, that he delights, we talked about that. He delights to give you things. He delights to see you prosper. He delights to speak, to walk with you, to talk with you. But then from there, you have to understand that it is nothing that you have done. That it is not your wisdom, that it is not your might, that it is not your riches. This is just echoed in 1 Corinthians, all these things. And I find it fascinating that what we just read in 1 Corinthians as well, I'm always struck when I see that the Lord himself becomes these things. The Lord himself is mercy. The Lord himself is peace. The Lord himself is love. The Lord himself is wisdom. The Lord himself is righteousness. Wouldn't you want to tap into that? Wouldn't you want access to that? You may be thinking, okay, the Lord could speak, yeah, but why would I even want that? Like, I'm content just reading my chapter for the day and then going about my business. I feel pretty good about that. Why would I want to talk to the Lord? And the thing is that the Lord not only shows these things, but he is these things. And he has created you with such a purpose and plans that you don't even know for yourselves yet. You don't know everything that you might like or dislike. And the Lord is preparing you and growing you so that you could tap into just how great of a God he is. We referenced it where it says, common verse where the Lord says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways. For my thoughts are so much higher than your ways. Your thoughts and my ways are so much higher than your ways. And the Lord just wants to use those things. He knows how to get you there. He knows how to expound. He knows how to make you great. And I think we should all have a desire to be great in the Lord. To tap into that. That's what separates us from anything else. From any just self-motivation or self-help and trying to... All these different tips. You can go on social media and scroll through and you'll get all these different things that you could do to better yourself. Or how are you going to improve yourself in the next month? And some of those things are good applications. Those are good ideas. But if it's not coming from God, then it's all going to fall. Motivation. I love hearing motivational speeches. I love hearing motivational songs. Just different coaches and leaders just giving their perspective and kind of hyping people up. But if you notice that sometimes in those moments, you have that joy and you have that excitement, you have that hope for a moment, and then it goes away. No matter how motivated you get, there's a time where it comes back down when it's not in Christ. So those things are going to fade, but the word of the Lord never does. So let him speak, tap into that. Let's go back to 1 Samuel. Just tapping into his ways, tapping into his thoughts. And that's really, as we're here remembering the Lord, as we're here to study his scriptures together, to magnify his name, are we growing to a point where we could say, Lord, I want your thoughts to be my thoughts. I want your ways to be my ways. That way, when you go before the Lord and you want to ask things of him, it doesn't feel like such a gap between, oh, I got to pray for an hour about this thing, or I got to, by prayer and fasting, I got to see what God's will is for me in this area. And it seems like there's such a distance sometimes, and in the back of our mind that doubt is in there of, you know what, I think the Lord could do it, but you know, I'm just not seeing a way how. It's in those moments of some of those doubts, some of those that gap between the Lord. And I've recognized as you grow in the scriptures, as you read more, as you just desire to be after the Lord's heart, that your prayers kind of become shorter. They kind of become more simple. They kind of become less panicky and filled with anxiety to like what Samuel says, Lord, just speak, for thy servant hears. So that's, we'll jump on a little bit here to where now Samuel is lying down. He's in position for the Lord to speak. And it's interesting going back to the fact that the word of the Lord was precious in those days, that it was rare, it was unusual, to where Eli will recognize that, oh, this is the Lord speaking, that he doesn't just respond by going out and saying, tell all your friends, call everybody, like let them know that the Lord is speaking to you. Like, this is a big thing. This is a big deal. Instead, he says, go back and lie down and be ready for him to speak. Sometimes the temptation of the Lord speaking to us in our human nature is we want to show that to people, as far as like, look what the Lord's doing in my life, or look how he's talking to me type of thing. And here we see that it's the right response of just go back to what you were doing. Again, remember, the Lord's going to speak to you in things that are familiar. The Lord's going to speak to you in things that are simple. You even get that picture in 1 Kings with Elijah, who's hiding out in the mountain after just doing all these miracles, doing all these signs through the hand of God. And he's now running from Jezebel, and he's in the cave, and the earthquake comes, the fire comes, all these big things come, and then it says, but God wasn't there, but God wasn't there, but God wasn't there. And then it says, then a small, still voice. Thinking back to how God speaks to your situation, meets you where you are, Elijah, in that circumstance, didn't need another big sign and miracle. He had just gone before the enemy's God, and basically they have that duel where they, I'm going to let you call on your God first, and Elijah says, then I'll call on mine. And of course, their God can't do anything, and then Elijah's God causes the wood to burn. So Elijah, in that circumstance, he didn't need the big miracle. He didn't need the big vision for the Lord to speak. He just needed something simple of a still small voice. The Lord's going to speak into your situation. So that's where Eli says, just go lie down. Don't make a big deal about it. You don't even have to just fall down and pray for X amount of time or say these big words or these big prayers. He says, just go make yourself available. Let the Lord confirm it again. See, you see, the Lord is calling. He says, Samuel, Samuel, Samuel. And then the last time he says, Samuel, Samuel. Because the Lord typically is going to confirm what he has spoken over your life. So don't just trust every thought or every inclination that you have and think, oh, this must be the Lord. Or I just prayed about this, and now this thought's on my mind. I got to go do it right away. How often do we take that word from the Lord, that thought that comes up into our mind, and say, okay, Lord, I was just praying about this, and this is what I'm thinking about now. I just want to go back and check with you to make sure that this is the word you have spoken over the situation. Don't be so quick to run into what's next, to the next step, because sometimes the Lord is calling you so that you could take that word and bring it back to him. That's why he says, Samuel, Samuel. He confirms it. And then he says, and the Lord came and stood and called, as at other times. Just let this soak in for a minute. The Lord came and stood and called. I wonder what's going on in your life where there's a blocker, or maybe you feel stuck, or maybe you just don't know how to get out of this one, and you've been praying the same things or worrying the same things and calling it prayer, and you're waiting for something. You're waiting for the Lord to just come, stand, and call. Remember, he delights. He wants to do that. He rejoices over you. He keeps his commandments. He keeps his promises. The Lord came, stood, and called. It is possible that this physical appearance, this standing, could have been the Lord Jesus Christ in the Old Testament appearing. Let's go to Psalms chapter 26. First, let's go to 25. We're going to be in a few Psalms here. We were in Psalm 27 earlier this morning. But now we're just going to look at some verses on, okay, I understand that he delights in me. I understand that he wants good things for me. I understand that it's not of my own power, of my own wisdom. But now what's next? So Psalm 25, and we'll read a couple of verses in 26 with it. But Psalm 25, verse 6 says, "Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindness, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord." Remember, O Lord. You know what type of faith and walk it takes to go before God Almighty and say, "Remember. Remember what you promised. Remember that you brought me here. Remember that the word you spoke over my life last time brought me to this situation, and I don't know what to do. So, Lord, remember me." What kind of walk do you have? Can you honestly go before the Lord and say, "Remember what you said you were going to do in my life"? I think that's a good measuring stick or tool to use is, can you go in prayer and say, "Remember the word you have spoken over me"? Because if you can't, you go in, chances are you're not saying, "Lord, remember what you're going to do with the power, your power, and how you're going to speak to me in this situation," if you're walking in a life that's not in accordance to his will and power. It makes it a lot more difficult to say, "Remember me, I just messed up 12 times in the last hour." It's kind of difficult. So in either case, you can go before the Lord saying, "Remember me," and he might show you, "Can you confess this first, and then I'll remember you, and we can move on, and you could be unstuck from this situation." So kind of use that in your prayers as you're going before the Lord, as you're asking him, as you're seeking him, is just saying, remember that you delight in me. Remember that you want to speak to me. I haven't heard from you lately. Remember that you could speak to me." You could say those prayers. You can ask those things. I was listening to a message recently, and it wasn't even, I don't even think it was 30 seconds into it before I paused it and was like, that was my word from it. And simply, all he said was, if you can find it in the scriptures of the Lord speaking to his people, if you could find it in the scriptures of people asking for things and receiving it, it means that you have every right to ask the Lord for it yourself. You have every right to go before the Lord and say, "Remember me." He might show you some things differently, but you should want to crave that as well. That's why sometimes that conviction of the Holy Spirit, once you're gone through it a little bit, you realize, wow, that was a blessing. That was a blessing. I think sometimes, too, I'll give you this example, and you've probably heard it a bunch, is, oh, you don't want to pray for patience because you don't know what's going to come. Yet we have it written on the wall, the fruit of the Spirit is da-da-da, patience. So how are we going to get patience? How are we going to get something that's a fruit of the Spirit? How are we going to get it from God if we're not going to God and getting it from him? Sometimes we have to be willing to get some of those things. In Proverbs it says, "Get wisdom, and on all thy getting, get righteousness." It's okay to go before the Lord and ask for it and say, "Lord, can you give me some of these things? I haven't had much peace in my life lately. Lord, you are the God of peace yourself. Remember you said that in your scriptures, that you are the God of peace yourselves. Can you bring peace into my life?" Do you say those prayers? Or is it the same mundane script that you have written So you just check it off and say, oh, I prayed for this person, that person, blah. Sometimes if you listen to the prayers of at different meetings or whatever, it's like the prayers don't change, it's just the names change. And I wonder if God could do a much more mighty work if you could expand the limits that you have. We have limits in our own mind, in our own human nature, but God doesn't. His ways are higher than ours. His thoughts are higher than ours. His answers are higher than ours. Sometimes we go to the Lord in a prayer and we pray for the answers. And we pray, Lord, this, I'm going through this. Could you do X, Y, and Z? And it's like the Lord knows how to answer that situation. He's trying to get you to a place where you don't need to see it answered how human wisdom is. Because if that were the case, then you could do it yourself. I would state that in most cases, maybe all of them, that when the Lord wants to show up in your life and do a mighty work, he's not going to do it the way you want it to. Because if that was the case, you wouldn't need him. So that's where it's having that humility when going before the Lord of just speak for your servant hears. Speak for your servant hears. Continuing this point a little bit in 26, I love how this psalm starts and ends. It says, judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord, therefore I shall not slide. And then it ends in verse 11. It says, but as for me, I will walk in my integrity. Redeem me and be merciful unto me. Again, the idea of I have walked in mine integrity. Sometimes situations will come up in your life and they're just so shocking and so big and so you just don't know how to handle it. And sometimes a thought will come into your mind if you're walking in the Lord just to say, you know what, this is all going to be okay because I have walked in my integrity. The Lord is going to use this for good. It doesn't matter what it looks like. I know I've been walking in my integrity. It gives you that confidence a little bit to go through it and not just be so shocked by the things that life will throw at you. And again, if you're going before the Lord and saying, Lord, I have walked in my integrity, if you could say that honestly and openly, again, it's that measuring stick. If you could say that, chances are you're walking with the Lord. If you're not walking in integrity, it's going to be a little bit more convicting when you go to the Lord and say, I have walked in my integrity, if you haven't truly been. So use some of these things as you're going before the Lord, as you're approaching the Lord, as you're asking him to speak to you. Think of these phrases of remember, telling the Lord to remember what he has promised you. And then in your heart and in your mind, can you say, I have walked in my integrity? Regardless of what has happened to me, regardless of the world might think of what's going on in my situations, regardless of what's been thrown at you, can you just say, Lord, I'm good because I've walked in my integrity? At the end of the day, that's all that really matters with your walk with the Lord. Everything else is going to fade away. In Psalm 27, read it earlier. You see in verse 11, we'll just read one verse. It says, teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Teach me thy way. It's just that simple when you're going before the Lord. Just teach me your way. There's so much in there. It's that humility of understanding that we don't have all the answers. And for some reason, we seem to get caught up in thinking that, you know what, I've been living pretty good. I've been studying. I've been listening to these speakers. I've been reading these books. Like, I'm pretty wise. I'm pretty knowledgeable about this topic. Can you have that humility that, you know what, Lord, you have so much more that you could show me? Always struck that about heaven, just as simple heaven as the fact that it will be for an eternity. And one of the reasons it's going to be for an eternity is because that's how long it takes for you to know God. Forever. But for some reason, we think in our few short years here on earth that we understand it, that we have the answers, that we could do it in our own flesh. And it's just letting go of that and saying, Lord, you're the greatest teacher. I need you to teach me every day. If you want to teach me today, you can, because I'm your servant. Teach me your way, O Lord. Speak to me, for your servant hears. Another verse while we're here in Psalms, going to 28. Thinking about the Lord speaking in your lives. Verse 1 says, unto thee will I cry, O Lord, my rock. Be not silent to me, lest if you be silent to me, I become like them that go down to the pit. Again, our ability to come before the Almighty God, to speak to Him, to hear from Him, is what separates us from any other thing, is the fact that we could have that relationship with Christ. And if the Lord's not talking to you, you're no better than them that go down to the pit. That's what David says here. It should hurt you a little bit, those moments that I'm just not hearing from the Lord. And in those moments, do you go back to Him and say, simply put, Lord, I haven't heard from you recently. I want to hear from you. Speak, your servant hears. Can you just keep going over and over? Speak, your servant hears. Speak, your servant hears. And not just thinking that, oh, I'm going to pray to start my day. Lord, bless me in this. Guide me in this. I got these things to take care of today. Like, could you answer it this way? And it might be a good place to start. At least you're going before the Lord. But again, as you draw closer and closer to the Lord, I think your prayers become a little bit more simple of just, Lord, I invite you into this day, whatever you would have. That's a question that gets asked a lot, and it's whether you meet someone new or you haven't seen someone in a while, people say, oh, what do you do? Or what have you been up to? Or where do you work? And blah, blah, blah. And it's sometimes so hard to wrap an answer into just one little conversation with someone, and you want to catch them up or whatever. And sometimes I'm just trying to get to that point of, even for ourselves, of what do you do? Whatever the Lord would have for me today. Whatever the Lord would have for me today. Notice how when Samuel says speak, he says speak, your servant hears. Do we have that servant mindset? I'm always fascinated with movies about old times, whether it's medieval times or different fantasy stories or whatever, where there's a king in place, and you'll always see people going before the king, and it's like such an honor to go, and they're bowing down on their knees, and it's just like, Lord, just hear, or to the king, just hear my request, or just, can you do this? Like, it's such an honor just to be in your presence. And I wonder, do we do that with the Lord, the King of Kings, King Jesus? Are we starting that now of just going before the Lord and just saying, thank you that you're going to hear from me today, that you took the time to receive me, that you delight in me, regardless of what I've done, that you rejoice over me, regardless of what I've done. I think it would take a lot of pressure off of ourselves if we just understood that simple truth that it's up to God, that it's not reliant on us. We just get the privilege to serve. We mess up, we make the wrong decision, that's fine. Go before the Lord, confess it, be done with it, move on. But it's not on you. Sometimes we get so stressed out and anxious, and we're all bent out of shape when we rely on our own earthly wisdom or think that it's up to us. It is not up to us, but it is a privilege to go before the king. So Samuel answered, "Speak, for thy servant hears." You see, his response is inviting the Lord to speak now. So the Lord has been working on Samuel's heart. He has recognized the fact that he has ministered to God, that he has ministered to Eli. And now he's starting to grab his attention by saying, "Samuel, Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel's response is to go, is to say, "Speak." Again, we have that ability to ask. We could go before the king and ask. Anything you ask of the Lord, believing it to be so, he will do for you. And you hear scriptures like that, and I've heard people who say, "Oh, that doesn't mean anything." True. It doesn't mean anything from the sense of anything opposed to God's will. But again, if you're trying to walk in the Lord and match your thoughts with his thoughts, your ways with his ways, it makes it so much easier to say, "Lord, this is what you put on my heart today. Just bringing it back to you. Is this the case? What would you want me to do?" And then he could speak to it again and confirm it. And you're going to see a lot more answers to your prayer life. You're going to see a lot more better and powerful prayers. And you're going to see what the Lord is actually doing when you're going before you. You know, you just want to match your will to his will. You just want to be a servant. I love there's one song that says, "You want to be something someday." Basically, you want to be great someday. Then you got to lay it all down before the king. We all are called to be servants. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians 1. Just for context's sake, I'm going to read from verse 17 through 24. We'll go through a few more scriptures and then we'll be done. Keeping in mind we all have a calling, keeping in mind that God delights in us, keeping in mind that he wants to speak to us, keeping in mind that he's going to meet us where we are placed, keeping in mind that we, if God has given us spiritual gifts, spiritual talents, that we need to go before him and ask for it, for him to open it up more than we could ever imagine. 1 Corinthians 7, starting in verse 17. "But as God has distributed to every man, as the Lord has called every one, let him walk. And so ordain I all the churches. Is any man called being circumcised, let him not become uncircumcised. Is any called uncircumcised, let him not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing, but the keeping of the commandments of God. Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. Art thou called being a servant? Care not for it. But if thou mayest be free, use it rather. For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's free man. Likewise also he that is called being free is Christ's servant. You are bought with a price. Be not ye servants of men. Brethren, let every man wherein he is called, therein abide with God." Where are you called? Do you know your calling? Have you been staying true and asking the Lord, "Lord, you have given me expertise in some of these areas. I want to give it back to you, or else my fleshly wisdom will fail in it." In verse 19, he kind of uses this topic and says it's nothing. Whether one way or the other, it's nothing. Some of the things going on in the world today, we're so bent out of shape on what's the right thing, what's the wrong thing, what's the yes, what's the no. And we sometimes it causes division, it causes opinions, it causes arguments, it causes all these things. And Paul is just saying, it's nothing. Either way, it's nothing. But the keeping of commandments of God, that's everything. Being a servant is everything. You don't need to prove your opinion one way or the other. It doesn't matter. The Lord may show you that, hey, you could speak to this situation, and he's going to show you the words to do so. But to say, all Christians need to take a hard stand on this, that, and the third, the Lord's saying, keeping the commandments of God is everything. One way or the other, if you're not doing it in God, even God's gifts, if you don't receive them and commit them back to the Lord, you are now not tapping into the full potential for what he has. And you are disobeying the things that he would have in your life. Again, we're limited. He is limitless. He has every answer. He has every tool. He has every answer. He has every path. For you specifically, for us as a group, it doesn't matter. Can you just serve the Lord? That's what it always goes back to. Maybe, yeah, Lord, I'm feeling this way, I'm feeling that way. David again goes on to say in Psalms, he says, I pour out my complaint before the Lord. Sometimes there's days where you want to complain. You just want to express your feelings. You have so much, you're so fired up for this thing or that thing. Bring it back down to, Lord, I just want to serve you. And then he's going to give you the answer. Then he's going to speak. Then you could confirm those words. Then he'll order your steps. It all builds off of each other, but it starts with, Lord, can I be your servant today? We'll go one more verse, and then we'll go back to 1 Samuel. In Isaiah 62, heard once that preachers always have multiple conclusions, and the more I do this, the more I believe it. Isaiah 62, we'll read verse 6 and 7. Says, I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day nor night. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silent, and give him no rest till he establish, until he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. Keep not silent when going before the Lord. And it says, give him no rest. That's the Lord. When you're going before the Lord, that fervent prayer, Lord, speak, 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 speak. Remember, 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 remember. Continue to walk in integrity. Continue to call out to the Lord. And then he's going to answer. Do not give up on speaking to the Lord. Do not give up on expecting him to speak to you. He walks with me. He talks with me. Can you do so? In verse 18 of where we started in 1 Samuel 3, it says, and Samuel told him every whit and hid nothing from him. And he said, it is the Lord. Let him do whatever seemeth him good. And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did not let any of his words fall to the ground. When the Lord gives you a word, commit it back to him. Continue to grow, and just let the Lord do what seems good. Whatever seemeth good, you could do, Lord. The Lord came, the Lord stood and called. And Samuel answered, speak, for thy servant heareth. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you and praise you for this time to open your scriptures. I thank you that you have spoken through them. that you will continue to speak, that you delight in talking to your people. You delight to hear from us. You delight to give us good things. In fact, the Lord Jesus Christ said it's in his good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So Lord, will we soak that in? Understand that we have a responsibility, that we have the privilege to hear from you and to act on the things that you have spoken over our lives. Let us be more than just ordinary. Let us be set apart in you for the things that you would desire us to do. There is no ceiling with you. There is no end. For you are the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. So Lord, do whatever seems good to you. Help us to just say speak and hear what you have to say. To not fight with it, to not argue with it, but to just serve and watch things fall one by one. So Lord, we commit this time to you. We acknowledge you. We invite you into each of our situations here today, trusting that you will do greater than we can even imagine. So Lord, we praise you now for the things that will be done, for you know all things. In the name of Lord Jesus Christ, I pray.